Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser, the reporter, here with you. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday morning. The weekend flew by, as it typically does, but a lot to get into this week to start the week off. Obviously, Titans have their rookie minicamp that's been going on. A lot of Will Levis. Congratulations to Will Levis, because I saw some video. He was throwing some great passes against a great pass rush named Air, and I believe they're sending a gold jacket. So that's what everybody's feeling on this Monday. I'm sure there are other rookie minicamps. They're feeling that with Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. Like, here we go, anoint them. We always go through that every year, but here we are. Hi, Michelle. How you doing?
Good morning. Yes, I think we were having similar conversations last year at rookie minicamp. So it's overreaction season.
Of course, that's what happens. But we'll also get into the Ja Morant stuff because I have some thoughts on that. And the NHL and NBA playoffs are ongoing. We now have basically the conference final set for both, except for a game 7 tonight between Dallas and Seattle. So looking forward to that. But let's start with the Titans and Will Levis, because it's one thing, you know, to see it against, you know, other rookies, no pass rush. We talked about that. Did he look good? Yeah, he did. He looked good. And you would hope that he would. If he didn't, then we're having a different conversation today. But, you know, there are times when, you know, I might be like, look, I don't care what the guy says. Go back it up. You know, don't talk the talk. Go walk the walk. That's what I like to say quite a bit. But I think in a position that he is in, it is important on how he addresses certain situations. And I have to admit, listening to his press conference, I was impressed with him. I thought that he handled some of the questions that came his way. Now, I mean, he's getting a few on, you know, what his number, you know, why he chose a certain number. I know he told a story about meeting Vrabel at Patriots camp, which was pretty cool. But, you know, I wanted to hear, okay, how do you deal with the noise? How do you deal with Ryan Tannehill? How do you deal with, you know, different things like that? And he got asked the question that I feel like any quarterback that is in the first couple rounds should be asked when they go into a rookie mini camp. And that is, do you go in here with the attitude of you're trying to be the guy?
When you look at the big picture, are you going into this with the mindset that you're competing to be the starter? How do you approach this?
I approach this to just get better every day. Just get here and learn. I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg of what's to be needed to know here as a quarterback. Regardless of how today and yesterday went, I got to just keep improving every day, putting the past behind me, learning from my mistakes, and just continuing to just get better and be the best leader I can be and the best person for this team to help us win as many games as we can.
So before I tell you what I think about that, I want to know what you thought about his answer there.
I mean, it seems like a Vrabel answer already, first press conference as a Tennessee Titan. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what he's there to do. He realizes that I am a long, long way from starting in this league, whether he was drafted in the first round, whether he was drafted in the second round. And I think that, you know, of course you want to be the starter, but I mean, I think he answered it fine. I mean, I don't perk my ears up to the way he answered it. Just, you know, work hard. Ryan Tannehill is leaps and bounds. He's been starting in this league for a very, very long time. And I think when you come in behind a guy like that, that's something you need to realize, right? These other rookies in your division, I mean, aren't coming in behind a starting quarterback. You look at Anthony Richardson. Yeah, he's in Indianapolis with Gardner Minshew, but Gardner Minshew's been a backup around the league. He even has more experience, more reps under his belt than Anthony Richardson, but it's a different situation. You are coming in with a solid starter on this team.
Yeah. Okay. So we're along the same lines there. There are times where, you know, I want to hear a guy go, you know, I'm coming in to be the starter. Like, I'm preparing every day. Like, and I think at some point before training camp, I want to hear some of that from him, but I can take his answer one of two ways. One, he already knows he's not going to be the starter and has been said, look, our plan for you is you're going to back up Ryan Tannehill and learn everything you can, which is fine, which is exactly what it should be. That should be the plan for him this year. Or he just gave a really honest answer. And I like it when a quarterback or a player or anybody is really honest. And that honest answer is, I just got here and quite frankly, don't know what the hell I'm doing.
I mean, think about it if he got up there and he said, yeah, I'm going to be the starter. Or, yeah, I'm working towards being the starter.
We wouldn't believe it. We wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, yet. I mean, it's similar to when after they drafted him, the depth chart was, Mike Vrabel said it was Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, and then Will Levis. I mean, did we believe that?
Right.
No. I mean, I think it's clear that them making the move where they did to go and get Will Levis, it's the thought of, okay, he will eventually be our starter, hopefully, if they can develop him into an NFL quarterback, and he'll be our backup this year. Because if you put him on a – it's the same situation as last year. You know, Malik Willis is the Logan Wood side. Mm-hmm. Will Levis is the Malik Willis. If you were to put Will Levis on the practice squad – yeah, he'd be picked up by another team around the league that is like, what do you got going on over there, Tennessee? You put him on your practice squad, now he's available? They're not going to do that.
Yeah. Plus, with Malik Willis, when he talks, I want to hear him going like, oh, I'm here to compete. I'm not the third string.
Oh, I have a feeling he will be.
I've been working hard. You know, I've been here. Glad to have Will in the room. Looking forward to the competition. That's what I want to hear from him.
Yeah, and I
– but I'm okay with the honesty right now from Levis of Levis being like, look, I'm learning this. You know, this is new. This is my first week.
Yeah, and I mean, Nick Suss from the Tennessean put out an article. He talked to Malik Willis's personal quarterback coach on, you know, what it's been like for him, what it was like when he found out that they drafted Will Levis. I've talked to – Malik Willis's quarterback coach. I know that he's been working since January. Malik isn't out there broadcasting it, but, you know, it's something that I think has gone untalked about because it's all been Will Levis, Will Levis, Will Levis, Ryan Tannehill, Will Levis, Will Levis, Will Levis, Ryan Tannehill, right? And people are completely forgetting that they did spend a third-round pick on Malik Willis. We saw him behind a depleted offensive line last year with no real weapons other than Derrick Henry thrown out there way too early. And it's very easy for us to write off and think, okay, well, he can't progress. Well, he can progress. And he's already had, you know, a lot more work than Will Levis has in the NFL. So that's something we're not talking about. Do I think that he will be on this team? Probably not, only because we saw them draft a quarterback, and not only draft a quarterback, move up in the second round to go and get that quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to jump to that conclusion yet with Malik Willis, because I think it depends on the rules. Like, if they can have that third quarterback and it not count, then I think they would do that.
Yeah, and that's a different story.
And I am a firm believer. I was talking about this with Rick over the weekend. We were watching the XFL championship game, which I actually found myself getting into. I actually watched it. And I have a feeling that where things are going with these spring leagues is the NFL is looking and going, okay, which one's going to be the most sustainable, or could they merge or what have you? And then you might see an NFL Europe type setup where they're going to allow some of their players to go play in it. I could, like, think about it. If the Titans retained the rights of Malik Willis but then loaned him out to the XFL, I think that would be huge for him. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, the game. We had some great points that none of you heard. Thank you for playing some T-Swift. That calms me down when stuff happens that shouldn't happen, but it happens.
Yeah, that's never happened to me before while I've been here. And I was like, whoa.
That's okay. Little power surge, but we're back. Talking Will Levis, 615-737-1025. I will say this that I love, like, and I mean this with all sincerity, like when something like that happens and we, you know, go off for a second and somebody will text in or call and go, hey, just letting you guys know that you're off the air. And, like, we really appreciate that because, I mean, most of the time we know, but we do appreciate that.
Oh, 100%, because sometimes, you know, we got a lot of cords, a lot of wires, a lot of power in here, and sometimes you know, there's just a lot going on. Sometimes we don't know.
So basically, Michelle tripped over a cord and it knocked us off. That's what we're going to go with for
basically,
a second.
Basically, I was having such a hot take that everything just went out. But to the point we were talking about before, you were talking about, you know, could we eventually see maybe a XFL, USFL, whatever league they decide to go with, essentially be a minor league team and pair with certain NFL teams around the league. And, you know, I look at the Preds, what we've watched them be able to do, you know, these last couple of years, and how the Milwaukee program has been built up so much, and we've seen how beneficial it can be for young guys. Because I know we talk in hockey, there are a lot younger. Sometimes we're seeing 18, 19, 20-year-olds. Whereas the NFL, you have to have a couple of years in college. They're more so around that 22-year age. I mean, Anthony Richardson is only 20 years old, so it really just depends. But I think you can always benefit from just getting more reps at not the college level, but more of a professional minor league level. And look at the NBA. I mean, they offer two-way contracts for teams where a team can, you know, bring up a player if they need some extra depth at a position, but then also bring them back down or let them go back down, say, if the team's in the postseason for the G League or something along those lines. But I am always a proponent of things like that because I think it helps your product. And I think it gives more opportunity also to, you know, people to play at that next level. Maybe it not be the full NFL, but still has a platform for them to play at a high level.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that'd be something cool to have happen. And I believe it will happen. I think the NFL has just been waiting for a league to be sustainable that they're not having to dump a ton of resources in. I mean, they're going to have to a little bit, but
they got the money. Not worried about that.
Yeah, but we shall see. I could draw up a whole plan for him that I think would work. But back to Will Levis and the things that he's saying, and I think there are some things that he has to say that are important, such as he was asked about, you know, there's been a lot of noise when it comes to him. I mean, in some ways, we're making noise right now. We're talking about him. So how does he deal with that? Again, I thought this was a very honest answer, and I appreciated that.
Is it easy for you to, like, block out the noise?
Yeah.
Especially?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say, like, I block it out. Like, you can't not see, like, the stuff that people say, but you got to take it for what it is, which is meaningless, you know? You focus on what matters. You focus on what you can control, and you kind of just say, screw it to everything else, you know? So, just, you know, focus on myself, focus on my craft, focus on the people in this building, and just working.
Okay, so he, you know, that part of focus on myself, you know, all that stuff, focus on what we're doing here, that's the cliche thing that everybody says. But what he said before that, I really appreciated. And that was, yeah, I mean, of course I hear it. You know, because everybody wants to be like, oh, yeah, no, I don't hear it. I don't listen to the radio. I don't read the paper. I don't read, you know, online. I don't watch TV. Bull.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. Like, when a coach says, I'm not going to say a specific coach, Mike Vrabel, but when they say that, like, I know it's crap. Like, you know. You know what's going on. And you know what? You should know what's going on. Like, if I was in Levis's position or Vrabel's position, more so Vrabel's position, hell yeah, I want to know what's going on and being said about my team.
Yeah, and, you know, even if you deactivate all your social media accounts and you stay off the Instagram, the Twitter, you have friends and family and you have people who are in your inner circle who are like, did you see this dude? Or how about this? Or come on, why is somebody going to say that? I mean, listen, my friend was getting dogged on social media like Will Levis was for a while by people who have never met him or anything like that. You know you're that friend. You're like, how could they say this? Or you want to go to bat for them on social media just to stand up for them. But I think he's being realistic about the situation. Nobody ever doesn't see it. Everybody knows, you know, if you're a public figure, you see all the stuff that people are saying about you. People tell you, right, inside your inner circle. And it doesn't feel good, no. But, you know, if he can keep that approach, it's something that – if you're a public figure, if you're a professional athlete, it's something that's becoming more and more a factor into mental health. Because 15, 20 years ago, I mean, Tom Brady, you know, guys didn't have to see this. Guys didn't have to see random people just being so mean and ruthless on social media. And now it does.
No, but
play
there were
role.
Other ways. I mean, that, like there were. You're right. They didn't. But like they would read like what people were writing about them and
yeah,
stuff like
but
that.
This is just another level. I mean, this sure. is so immediate and millions of people following you, and at the push of a enter button or a send button can access you.
Keyboard warriors.
You couldn't access these guys 15 years ago. Like you couldn't access Tom Brady and be like and send him something mean, right? They could see papers or newscasts or SportsCenter, whatever it may be, but you couldn't directly access them and say something to them. But mm-hmm. now you can with social media.
Right. And again, keyboard warriors. Let's go to speaking of keyboards, let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe says, Will Levis's answer sounded very Tannehill-esque. To an extent, maybe, but I think Tannehill is more of the, yeah, I'm not really paying attention to any of that. I'm just here to be the starting quarterback for this team. I'm just here to help this team win. You know, that's more Tannehill. Levis gave you a little bit. Levis opened the curtain. Now, that could change as time goes on, as he gets Vrabelized. You know, that could certainly
What do Jared and Caroline call it? Vrabelese?
Yeah, Vrabelese
or something.
Yeah, something like that. But,
his language.
But, you know, I think his press conference yesterday, that was or Saturday, I think that was what I wanted to hear from him.
I agree. I think he kind of pulled the curtain back and allowed people to see a little bit of his personality, but also too was humble and showed that he's not coming in here entitled like everybody's calling him and things like that, or arrogant or whatever people want to say about him. And I think, you know, hearing him answer a lot of these questions, like you said, Chase, he was, you know, honest. Yeah, I see the social media stuff, or I haven't even, you know, even scratched the surface of being able to be a starter in the NFL. And I think that was good for fans to be able to, you know, see a little bit inside of who he is. But I guess I could see the Tannehill comparison, but I agree with you, Chase. I think Tannehill's more so all business. And I just think that happens to be with being in the league, right? I mean, we could see by the middle end of the season, Will Levis all business.
Yeah.
Right. It's a focus aspect, and honestly, I will bring it all back to social media, because look what happened to Tannehill last year when he said just a little something in the OTAs it might have been beginning of training camp or something, the mentor comment.
Yeah, it was
and
OTAs.
Then it was
right.
blown up.
And it got blown up out of proportion. So speaking of Levis and speaking of Vrabel, what is the match there? Will Levis was asked just that question.
Once the dust settled and you landed here, a lot of draft analysts, they said, you know, your match with Mike Vrabel is ideal. Your interaction with him just through the whole process and actually coming here, how has that been?
It's been great. I mean, it's been great to get to know Coach. I'm just doing everything I can at this moment to gain his trust and to gain the trust of my teammates. But, I mean, like I've said, when I got asked to come here, I mean, I knew that I was going to really enjoy playing for Coach. And just looking forward to continuing our relationship and continue to keep working for him.
And then later on, he tells a story about meeting him at Patriots training camp when he was a kid and everything, which was cool. But, you know, look, that the head coach and the quarterback got to have a relationship. They don't necessarily have to get along, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, but they have to have a relationship. And so I think that's certainly a good start. And then on the flip side of that, Vrabel was asked about, you know, the coaching and he had a nice little interaction with the media. And, you know, I think I've gotten a little more patient as the years have gone on, which maybe he has a little bit. But he was asked about how Levis has taken to Vrabel's coaching.
How has Levis been from that perspective, just as far as like taking your coaching and your one-on-one work with him?
Again, the ball went to where it was supposed to go most of the time. Did it, you know. We'll continue to coach. We explain to these guys we got to coach the action and not the result. Sometimes that's hard for any player to understand. Like, oh, man, I ended up, you know, making a play there. But it may not be what we want. So we're going to continue to coach the action. We'll coach him. We'll coach everybody else tonight, tomorrow, and get him some rest. Hopefully they can reach out to everybody that, you know, all those females that they that are in their life that have helped them get to this point tomorrow, we'll remind them of that. Let them have the afternoon to go do that and then come back with our guys on Monday.
They're referencing Mother's Day, of course, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom, if you're listening.
Yeah, mine too. She's teaching, so she's not listening probably, unless the kids are listening to the show. That could
she
be.
Needs
who
to
knows.
Be. That needs to be a topic.
Yeah, that could be the thing. But I love when Vrabel's asked those, and TD's is great at asking those questions. You know, he's asked the coaching questions and, you know, kind of take us in behind the curtain, and all of a sudden a steel door goes up, you know, when you ask those questions. But, you know, I think that Will Levis is in a really good spot. I've said that from the beginning. Since they drafted him, I'm like, you know what? I like – he's with a good coach in Vrabel. I think Tim Kelly and Charles London are going to be really good for his development. I mean, Tim Kelly did a really nice job with Deshaun Watson in Houston. Mm-hmm. Granted, Deshaun Watson had a lot of raw ability that maybe Will Levis doesn't have. But I still think this is going to be a good match. And now it's just taking the coaching and learning and growing and sitting behind Tannehill for a year, which is exactly what needs to happen. We'll continue this discussion with Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. The show is Hot Mic from 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan and the Outkick Network. We'll do that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic hanging out with you. Join 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Friday for the grand opening of the new Dunkin' in Spring Hill, located at 2098 Wall Street. Stop by and grab some coffee, and you can register for giveaways from 7 to 9 a.m. Usually at 10:30 on Mondays, we chat with Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, moving up to 9:30 today to talk about some Titans. Hut, what's up?
Yep. Good morning, guys. I appreciate you. Yeah, we got to get some corporate meetings going on. Lovely meetings. So,
ooh.
Yeah, thank you for accommodating the hour.
Always happy to do so, and you got to love meetings. But speaking of meetings, Will Levis met with the media this week for a rookie camp that's going on. And, you know, look, I've heard that the NFL Hall of Fame sending a gold jacket. He was great against nothing and, you know, throwing to air, and pass rush was there. But, you know, everybody does that. I'm sure they're doing that in Charlotte and Houston right now and other markets with these rookie quarterbacks. But I thought he did fine. He did what they asked him to do. Yeah. And then some of the questions that he was asked, I appreciated the honesty. Like, he, you know, was asked about putting the noise out of his mind. And he's like, well, of course I hear it. Like, you know, a lot of guys will act like, nope, I don't read anything. I don't listen to anything. We all know that's not true. So what was kind of your takeaways of Will Levis, you know, really first true major press conference being right there in front of the media?
Yeah, and look, full disclosure, I was at Steeplechase,
nice.
And I didn't go to this. I did go back and listen to the audio of and watch the pressers and other media availabilities, and I get why the attendance is there. It's for the first opportunity to talk with some of these guys, and Levis is a big storyline, as are others. So far, so good. This is an acclimation period. Vrabel talking about having more patience. It's more patience now so that he doesn't have to – patience is not required whenever they get with the vets. And so the acclimation comes with, here's how we practice. Here's kind of the schedule of practice. Here's the mechanism of, you know, play action and your footwork, different things we're going to be working on in certain drills. And it's not just for Levis. It's for everyone. You know, Dow learned the hard way, falling after – you know, he said he got ahead of him, just his feet got ahead of the football a little bit in his mind on what he was supposed to do next on the drill. I think that's more or less what Vrabel's getting at. What I like from Will Levis is he was just upfront about it. And he was like that with me. I saw him at Topgolf about a week and a half ago, I guess now, about a week ago. And I introduced myself, and I told him straight up, I'm like, hey, man, you know, I wasn't a fan of the pick. And I said, I'm welcome to Nashville. If you go beat out Tannehill, more power to you. And I think you're in a good spot because you're the backup here. And you get a chance to learn from Charles London, who comes from Atlanta, and from Tim Kelly, who Vrabel wanted to hire previously whenever he was in Houston with Deshaun Watson. Levis was cool then. He said that, he goes, man, everyone's talking trash, is what he was saying. Cool then, and I felt like he answered in a very similar fashion this past weekend, and that's how he should. But there's not a lot of pressure on him right now, Chase.
No.
He gets to come in instead of having to live up to the Will Levis hype of the NFL draft. He is now no longer a part of the headline storyline of the 2023 class. That goes to the top four picks and three of them being quarterbacks. And now it's, okay, the headline here is Will Levis going to ascend faster than what we think he will? And if that happens, what's the plan with Ryan Tannehill? Because that's been the talk even prior to when they drafted Will Levis. What are they going to do with the salary? Do they want to move on, and how fast do they want to move on? All indications right now, Tannehill's the quarterback, Will Levis is the backup, and that's not a bad thing for him.
I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Jonathan Hutton is with us. But I will play the what-if game with you. What if Levis has an awesome training camp? And in all indications are, if Tannehill wasn't a factor, you could sit there and you would go, okay, that guy has earned the starting job. But the fact that you have Tannehill, who's the incumbent, who is on the contract that he is, and you still have a rookie, do you still feel like the smart play would be, no, you need to sit for a year behind Tannehill and just continue to learn, even though he might show you that he's ready?
Well, I think the most likely scenario in camp, and this is like everything's just even, there's no injuries around the league, because that's where the trades come in for Tannehill. Then I think the most likely scenario for me is Tannehill starting the season, and you give your quarterback an opportunity to develop. But at the same time, if things start out of the gate slow, make a change. I watched it personally with Vince Young whenever he came in. Yeah. So I mean, it's. It's similar but different because VY is the third overall pick. There is expectation to start and start fast in this league with your top guy, because in most cases those head coaches are either brand new and you're pairing yourself up with coordinators with your young coach or young quarterback, or you are on the hot seat a la Chris Ballard and you want to go ahead and start that clock and try to catch fire fast. And in this case, Vrabel's not on the hot seat, but he's linked himself up with Will Levis in the second round for the future. There's no doubt. I mean, the running back and the quarterback that they've selected on day two of this year's draft, they can't point to the general manager to take the fall with if it doesn't work out like they did last year among other picks. They ran it back with different players, and this is Vrabel in collaboration with Rand Carthon, but we know it's not on the hot seat. So, again, the GM-head coach dynamic is way different here than in some spots around the league where maybe you see the rookie ahead of the vet because the coach gets a bit antsy and makes his own quarterback controversy because his job's on the line. That's not the case. And for those that don't believe, and there are, that don't believe that coaches will coach to keep their jobs and try to find scenarios to keep their jobs, they're absolutely wrong. The last 2 years have shown us how quarterbacks have played rotation and tried to, catch a game here, a game there, and all of a sudden you're 8-8, your average, 8-8-1, whatever the Colts were. One guy stays, one guy goes. And in the case of the Titans, that's exactly what happened too.
Well, with that being said, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic on with us now. Do you think that there is anything Ryan Tannehill can do this year on the field to be the starter in 2024, Jonathan?
Go win a Super Bowl.
I mean, go
win an MVP. Like, I mean, we were asking the same questions about Aaron Rodgers when they drafted Jordan Love, and then he went and won Most Valuable Player back-to-back years and gave the middle finger to the Green Bay Packers. That's what happened. The other scenario would be Will Levis gets hurt and is going to take a while to come back because he gets hurt at the end of the year or something, but it's there are factors there, but I think the scenarios are unlikely compared to situations that have played out that way. This would be based on age, and this is also just based on the two guys where they have the money tied up the most, Tannehill and Henry. You can get out of their contracts, or their contracts expire with voidable years after this season, and you don't have to give extensions to kick the salary cap can down the road. You can take the hit now. There is a scenario, and it plays out well, to where you are trying to plan for the future, but also capitalize on the fact that he's the fourth winningest quarterback since, what, 2019 in the NFL. And that's no fault of Tannehill. That's in his favor. And now we get to see how the dynamic really turns, because he's been here this offseason. He's been at the voluntary work. And I think that's strategic, too, because if the Titans were going to move him, they wouldn't want him there, because they don't want to risk injury. Or going to release him, you designate him post June 1st, and then you don't show up. You treat him like Julio Jones, and they haven't done that. The signal would be that they're going to start him. And they have, Michelle, they have referenced, we have talked with Ryan behind the scenes throughout this process, and he knows where we're coming from and all this. But, like, to me, that's the plan that they've rolled out. And he also knows he's getting paid well to do it.
Switching over to some NBA action, Jonathan. Another Instagram Live video surfaced yesterday with Ja Morant flashing a gun. Essentially, the same situation that happened just a couple months ago. He received multiple game suspension from the NBA. How concerning is it that we're seeing this behavior happen again? He's suspended for the time being, but how concerning is it for Ja Morant's future and also for the Memphis Grizzlies to you?
I mean, it's troubling. It's sad. It's, the Grizzlies last season, I think they treated that behind the scenes, and publicly, I should say, the way they had to keep everyone happy, just trying to make a playoff run. And now they can actually put their foot down a bit. They treated Ja Morant like he had just received some type of terminal illness, where he was going to get help, and he's on his own, he's taking time away from the team. Then video comes out, then the NBA suspends him, and then he's back faster than the statement was released. That's not going to be the case now. The NBA, I mean, Ja Morant went to Florida to meet with therapists. He then went to New York to meet with the commissioner, and went to 8 games, was back. And I doubt that the commissioner told him, like, hey, this is just, you know, the first of what you're going to have with 3 strikes. My guess is that the commissioner said, hey, while we can't prove that the anything that we've seen was on a team quote unquote property, which would have been like the team flight or the team hotel or the team bus, we can't prove that you took the gun there to the club in Denver. It's kind of obvious. And next time it's an automatic 50 game suspension. That's what's in the old CBA. They've since extended the CBA. So it may be written differently, but whenever I hear harsh suspension is expected, I'm not thinking 8 games. I'm not expecting 3 games on a suspension. I'm thinking they're coming down, you know, half a season or something like that, and possibly more, because he's just not getting the picture. And, you know, for the last bit of news that came out, prior to this one, Michelle, it was, well, his dad was saying, well, I'm to blame. That can no longer happen. Ja Morant, from here, from then on, it is on him. And it's stupidity is what it is, because, I mean, I don't know why you brandish a weapon on Instagram Live, period, but then do it after all of this has gone down. And Sauce Gardner said it best and then deleted the tweet. He said, bro, everybody out here has guns. Why do you need to be flashing it on Instagram Live? Like he's making a mockery of what the NBA and what the Grizzlies have told everyone, and quite frankly, what he's told people in sit downs and at the podium. surrounding himself with people that are not going to allow him to achieve nearly the success that he's capable of. But beyond that, it's just the guy needs help, and I don't know exactly how that gets through to a young man who's got everything but doesn't realize it.
Yeah, and honestly, it's just it's one of those things that for all of us, it's puzzling, and the fact that he can't figure it out. So obviously have to see where this goes. Jonathan, appreciate it as always. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Jonathan Hutton, Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Here's the show weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Coming up next, we will give our thoughts on this situation with Ja Morant. You can weigh in as well, 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The league's investigating. They're still going now to make sure that this was a legitimate video, that it wasn't doctored in some way. But I think there is a real, real possibility, if that is what it appeared to be, a weapon in Ja Morant's hand, he again is going to likely face a significant suspension to start next season.
Woj on ESPN, breaking it all down. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 615-737-1025. So Ja Morant, suspended by the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have gone ahead and suspended him from all team activities after a video was showing him holding a gun began circulating Saturday night on social media. And this is similar to the situation that he found himself in earlier in the season. And, you know, like Hutton was saying, I mean, you know, and I'm not going to make this conversation. This is not about what you feel about guns and things like that. Read the room, though. Like, if you're Ja Morant, read the room. What is a huge topic of discussion right now? What are we talking about in Nashville? Because it hits so close to home with what just happened a couple of months ago. I mean, just use your head, man. But, like, that's the problem. These guys, they're just not doing that, and I don't know what it is. I sit here in my seat, and it would be very easy for me. It's very easy for me to say, if I had that kind of talent and I was making that kind of money, you would never know what's going on with me. I would be very low profile. But it's easy for me to say that because I'm not in it. You know, I'm not him, so I can't 100% speak for him, but just use some common sense. And if your people that you're with are telling you the opposite, then unfortunately you probably need some new people.
Well, I mean, when you look at the Instagram live video, it looks like the person he was with, as soon as he saw Ja doing that, he threw his phone down, right? Like, he obviously knew that as soon as that happened. And honestly, I had to like slow the video down to even see it, because the friend he was with or acquaintance he was with put the phone down to not even show Ja as soon as Ja pulled the weapon up again. And, you know, it really is sad to see. And I think Jonathan Hutton laid it out really nice when I asked him about it, right? The timeline of the instances that happened more towards just in the middle of the season, right? There was the 17-year-old incident where the 17-year-old accused him and Ja Morant's friends of beating him up. There was an incident in Indianapolis with some of his friends in a car after a Pacers game. There was, of course, the first Instagram Live incident. And then after that, there was a statement of, you know, Ja needs to go to Florida to receive some treatment and therapy and take some time on his own, and then meets with the commissioner all in an 8-day span, which, you know, I'll be open, like therapy, I've gone, you know, like, it's not a one-time fix when it comes to, you know, going to therapy and addressing some problems that are probably more deep-rooted, especially since, you know, you saw a couple of them in a row happen with him. And it almost from the outside looking in seems as though it was a quick fix. We got to get Ja back. He's our best player. We got to do well in the playoffs. And I think it's become the culture in there. It's just not working. I mean, you know, Dylan Brooks had a lot. He was these comparisons are not equal. You know, Ja had some serious things going on, but even just the speaking out, and we praised this team last year for being young and you want to root for them. And you just see kind of all the stuff happening within the organization now. And there's clearly some just not good things happening within the team. And
they have a culture problem. I mean, they do. I'm gonna say it. They have a culture problem, and there are different types of culture problems, but they have a culture problem. Let me ask you this hypothetical question, but I think it's a true question. Do you think any of this stuff happens with a team that LeBron James is on? The answer is no, it doesn't. You can say what you want about LeBron. I mean, people can hate on LeBron all you want, but that he's a good dude for the most part. And he would not allow this stuff to go on. And I'm sure there's been on teams he's been on that I can't think of right now that there's been something that might have happened, but it gets dealt with and the culture is good. They got a culture problem and they got to fix this now. And Ja, you're right, he does need some help, but it's more than just go down to Florida for a few days and go to some counseling and then he's fixed.
Well, in this situation, you know, you look at LeBron, he's always been the leader of every team he's been on. Well, when you draft Ja second overall in 2019, you're supposed to be that guy for Memphis. You have more responsibility on your shoulders when you are the star player of a team. You can't only be good, but you have to help lead, especially when you have such a young team. There's no real veteran player on that team that is a strong leader, right? It's a very young team. It's something we've talked about. And when you are the best player and the spotlight is on you, unfortunately, you are held to higher standards.
You are, but you know what? That's another part of the problem too. And this is not directed at you. This is directed at us as a society. Because you're right. He gets drafted, and it's like he's anointed the guy. You are the guy. You are the guy of the Grizzlies. You're one of the guys in the league. And that's what happens. But not everybody is equipped to handle that. And so as an organization, you have to look into that. And you're right. I think that team does need more veteran presence that can help him through that. You know, you go back and you look at some of the whatever sport it is, you know, you have glue guys, you have locker room guys, you have the older guys that maybe have been around the block.
Who's the guy in Miami who I can't think of his name right now, who's like 40 years old?
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. But I'll give you an
Haslam or no?
Is it Haslam? I'll give you an example along those lines. Juwan Howard, for instance, was on those Heat teams. Mm-hmm. You know, now LeBron was older. D Wade was obviously a leader, but like Juwan, I feel like Juwan Howard was a guy that he was on the roster for forever, and never like didn't play anymore. But it's like, he was a glue guy. He was there because he was a good leader in the room. He helped D-Wade, helped LeBron. Like, you need guys like that. And, you know, I for instance, with the Titans this year, I'm really worried about them not having Ben Jones. I am really worried about that. Ben Jones was that kind of guy. Now, I get it. I understand it from a financial standpoint. But I think the Grizzlies need to find that. And they may have some veteran players.
Udonis Haslam.
Haslam, okay. That's who you're thinking of.
Thank you, Elliot.
They need a guy that's going to be there to help Ja. Because, yeah, you're right. We anoint these guys, and there's an expectation. But, again, not everyone's equipped. Not everyone can do that. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that.
Yeah, and, you know, I put some of this on Taylor Jenkins, too, the head coach of the Grizzlies.
I put a lot on him.
And I was kind of scrolling through Twitter, Chase, just right now, because John Morant's obviously trending and a lot of national media members are speaking out on him. Michael Wilbon said that his son's not allowed to wear John Morant's signature shoes. I told my son, you can't have the shoe. Our money as a family is not going towards that. And when you are sitting in the seat that Ja is, there's a bigger picture. You are being a role model for young kids. And, you know, he spoke out many, many times of his young daughter, and he's doing this for her, and that he wants to be a role model and things like that. Well, when the going get tough, you have to, you know, ask for help, ask for support, which we thought he did earlier in the season. But it's clear that, you know, if you're Taylor Jenkins and you believe that, you know, Ja Morant still is a guy and there is, you know, there are things that can be changed and you still want him to be a part of your organization, which I can pretty much guarantee you probably do. I mean, things need to change. And I have a feeling that there's going to be a huge suspension from the NBA after this. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if
there
it was a half season, 30, 40 games in there. And maybe that'll send a message.
Yeah, I think that would send a huge message, and it's what they need to do. So, obviously, this is going to be an ongoing investigation with the NBA and Ja Morant, but I agree with you. I think it's going to be a hefty suspension. You want to win a pair of tickets to see the Beach Boys at the Skrimmerhorn Symphony Center on May 27th. Be caller 3 right now, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Beach Boys at the Skrimmerhorn on May 27th. Coming up next, we get back into the Titans and how much a college offense can really help a guy in the NFL. We'll discuss that here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.